So as Rick mentioned, we have been spending quite a bit of time in this section of Colossians. So this is the end of it. Well, I say the end. It's the end of the sermon series, but I hope it's not the end of us living like this. I hope it's a step in the journey for us as a people who are chosen, are forgiving, are loving, are peaceful, and are grateful. If you have missed any of the previous sermons in this series, they are there on Facebook and YouTube, on our sermon podcast. You can go and catch up. And I've heard particularly good things about Peter's sermon from last week. So if you weren't here for that, you might want to particularly go and look at that. Last week, Peter focused on being a grateful people, what it means to be a grateful people. And so rather than go over what Peter spoke about last week, I'm going to be focusing on the first line of that final verse. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. So I wonder what your week has looked like. I wonder what you have done and said this week. Just have a little think back for a moment. What have I done this week? Looking back at my week, I've had a number of meetings, some church business meetings, some one-on-one pastoral conversations with people. I prepared a sermon. I prepared a sermon for this evening. Took a funeral. Now, they might look like things, but it's kind of obvious that they were things done in the name of the Lord Jesus. I did some other things as well. I watched some TV. I read a book or two. Cook some meals, put Kern up, just the normal stuff of life. I wonder if I did them in the name of the Lord Jesus. What have you done this week? Paul sets the bar pretty high, doesn't he? He doesn't say some of the things you do, or the things you do in church, or the things you do on a Sunday. He says, whatever you do. And it's not even just what you do. Also what you say. Every single word that comes out of your mouth. All of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So, if everything we do and say is meant to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, I think it's quite important that we understand what it means to do things in the name of our Lord Jesus, don't you reckon? And for me, the first clue is that it's not just in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about it for a minute. If Jesus is the Lord, what does that make us? If Jesus is the Lord, then surely we are the servants. So when a servant does something in the name of their master, then they're doing it on their behalf. They represent their master in that situation. It might be a sense of something being done with the authority of the Lord. I'm just picturing films with guardsmen pounding on the door when they're chasing after some miscreant shouting, "Open up in the name of the King." They're there in the name of their Lord, with the Lord's authority representing their Lord. So when we do something in someone else's name, we represent them. And so we represent Jesus in all that we do and say, if we claim that name of Jesus, if we say we're Christians, then everything we do, we're representing Jesus. So perhaps the question is, do we represent him well? There's another aspect of this that I think helps us think about this question. If we see a portrait of someone, we might ask, is it a good representation of that person? Does it look like them? Is it a fair likeness? Now, in Jesus, we have been adopted as God's children. We are part of God's family. We carry the family name. So when we do things in that name, we represent the family. We represent the Father of the family. We represent our Father. There's a sense in which we are the portrait of God. We are the portrait of Jesus that the world sees. So are we a good representation? Are we a good likeness? Do we look like Jesus? We will, if we truly do things, say things in his name, as his faithful representatives, with his love, with his peace, with his forgiveness, with gratitude in our hearts. Any of those sounding familiar? It's not coincidence that this instruction is at the end of this passage that we have spent so much time in over the last couple of months. Because Paul is summarizing all that he has said before. Live as I have just been encouraging you to, he says, and you will act and speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, because you will represent him well and you will be bear his likeness. You will be Jesus' people if you live like this. In our reading from Matthew's eyewitness account of the life and ministry of Jesus, we heard Jesus teaching about this same thing. Jesus used the image of good trees that bear good fruit and bad trees that bear not so good fruit. Now, it's common sense, isn't it? Jesus asked the question, do grapes grow on thorn bushes? Do figs grow on thistles? No, they don't. You can tell what's going on in someone's heart by the evidence of what they do and what they say. In Paul's letter to the church that met in Galatia, he describes this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, there's a lot of overlap there, isn't there, between that and what we've been looking at in the last few weeks. This is the fruit that is seen in the lives of those who truly act and speak in Jesus' name as Jesus' people. So actually, it's not just about what we do, is it? It's about how we do it. So let's think back onto those list of activities of my activities from the last week. You see, it would have been quite possible for me to do all the Christian, churchy ones in a way that didn't demonstrate the family likeness, that didn't represent Jesus well, that weren't done in my Lord Jesus' name. Even the ones that look very vicary, if I'd approached them with bitterness, if I'd been mean to the people while I was doing them, if I hadn't listened to the people I'd been with, if I hadn't shown any kindness or love, then I wouldn't have been doing any of them in the Lord Jesus' name, no matter how good and holy they look written in my diary. And those ordinary things of life, those things, they don't on the face of it look particularly Christian, do they? But they can be done in Jesus' name if they are done with generosity, with care, with encouragement, with faith, with love, with hope, with joy, with all those good things. That's applying it to my week. I wonder how those things look applied to the things in your week. Now back to our reading from Matthew. Well, there's a warning here, isn't there? Another aspect to doing things in the Lord Jesus' name. I read a novel recently, a master and commander type naval battle. You know the kind of thing? Napoleonic Wars, sailing ships, that kind of stuff. Anyway, one of the storylines was based around a member of the aristocracy of another country trying to manufacture a conflict with England on behalf of their king. But without that king's knowledge, actually going against what the king had said they wanted to happen. This aristocrat thought that he knew better than the king what should be done for the good of their country, and that the king would get in line once the war had begun. It'd be like fait accompli. He'd have to get behind it because it was done. And the English hero uncovered the plot, delivered the evidence to this king, who was completely furious, and the aristocrat came to a short and unpleasant end. Jesus says that it is not just what we say with our lips, Lord, Lord, or do. Even if that is miracles and driving out unclean spirits that show whether we are his, but whether or not we're doing the will of Father God. This is the third aspect of saying and doing things in the Lord Jesus' name. We are only true servants if we are being obedient to our Lord, doing his will and not our own. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or to expand that a little bit, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in obedience to God's will, as a representative of Jesus, who shows the good fruit of the family likeness. Now, there is a risk here, isn't there? And I want to just name it so we can avoid it. I don't want us all getting tied up in knots, unable to move for fear that something might not be in God's will. Christians can sometimes fall into that trap. So let's just have a think about God's will for a moment. There are some things that are fairly clear that are ruled out. Murder, adultery, theft, gossip, envy. None of those are God's will. We can fairly safely say that. Some things definitely are God's will. For instance, the two heart commandments, to love God and to love each other. Those are definitely God's will. Standing orders, just do it. And sometimes God will call us to specific actions, to specific tasks at specific times, or steer us away from things. God is active in our lives. But quite a lot of the time, I believe that God says to us, you choose. I gave you free will for a reason. It's my will that you use it. Within those general restrictions, things not to do, and within those kind of love each other, love God, with a heart that wants to bear good fruit, it seems to me that we will be living as Jesus' people. We have that attitude of obedience, of wanting to do our Father's will. And if we really don't know how what we do can be done in Jesus' name, then we can ask him. You might be thinking back over your week or looking forward to the week coming up and thinking about your work or your school or your college or meeting up with friends. Whatever you're doing this week, you might be thinking, really, how do I do that in your name, Lord? Well, don't just ask yourself, ask him. We're celebrating Pentecost next week. I've given you a bit of a forerunner of that. It's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. He can guide us into the God's will. We can say, Lord, will you send your Holy Spirit to show me how these things can be done in a way which brings honour to your name, which shows our family likeness? Will you give me opportunities to do this? We can ask the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit was sent for. As we draw some of these ideas together, there's a prayer that was written by Thomas Merton that I find very helpful. I'm going to finish it with it. And as I do, I encourage you to hold your week. It might be the one past or it might be the one coming up. Hold that in your mind. The things that you're going to do, the places you're going to go, the people you're going to speak to. Just hold that in your imagination. And join me in praying this over it. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I'll never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you. I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone.